Thank you for joining us on More Than That, a podcast where we dive a little bit deeper into what was preached on Sunday morning. We hope that this is enriching to your walk with Christ and that you love God and people that much more so that we can extend the glory of God to the people he has placed in our lives. So buckle up and enjoy the conversation. Hey, City Church, welcome back to More Than That. I am sitting here with Earl Neff, who had the privilege of speaking this past Sunday. There is another guest with us today as well. Her name is Arwen, so she might make a few interjections every now and again. So, Earl, if you had 10 extra minutes, give or take, what would you have said if there was something else you would like to introduce or maybe explain a little bit more? What would it have been?
Well, yeah, so it was, I felt like it was a really impactful message for me, speaking about kingdom relationships and community in regards to Paul. Referencing Timothy as his spiritual son in the Lord and his close relationship with him, which obviously was mentoring him and discipling him as a young man who was recommended to him. And so Paul took him, as we would say, under his wing. He traveled with Paul on his second missionary journey, and Timothy became a young pastor that Paul personally mentored and gave a charge to him. So it kind of became the focus. And I referenced my father who had just passed away. So that all kind of became even more clear to me, just the importance of that. Even though, you know, as fathers, we fail and we don't communicate well. And even for myself, I think, wow, I just really have not done well. Maybe a little better than my dad, you know. But then sometimes I ask my kids, and they're like, oh, no, Dad, you did good. I'm like, wow, that was being very kind, you know. But
Yeah.
So, but the whole thing is spiritual fathering. It's just, we don't talk about it a lot, I don't think. And yet, it really is, it's implied through Paul speaking to Timothy as his son in the Lord. And so just as in the natural, fathers have, we have a lot of power to influence our children for good and for evil, for bad, you know. And so as pastors and elders and believers, as men, we have a great ability to influence those younger than us, young men, or even, say, for example, you know, I've even had a niece come up to me yesterday afterwards, and she said, you know, you've been a spiritual father to me.
Oh, wow.
And that just was really encouraging. That's cool. You know, so we really can step into that role when the father is either missing or not able to guide them spiritually. And so, and I'm just thinking about our culture today that is becoming more broken, more fractured, more godless, and the need for spiritual fathers and mothers in the church is becoming more desperate, obviously, just because of that, you know. So I just found a couple references here to spiritual fathering, which I think this probably really was kind of the heart of my message. So it says, so sonship is not only toward God, but toward leaders or fathers over us in the Lord. A spiritual father is more than just a God parent. A spiritual father is someone who cares for us, who imparts to us love, identity. That's a real important one there. Spiritual covering, who prays for us and is concerned for our well-being. In return, we love, honor, serve, and care. We also give in return to make our spiritual father's work easy and receive covering from them in grace and the blessing of Christ. And so a spiritual father is someone God has placed in our lives for our spiritual well-being. We should submit to them, give our hearts and serve and honor them. In return, God will bring good to us through them. They are a source of life to us through Christ. So in the best case scenario, when a spiritual father is whole themselves and seeking God and submitting to others himself, they can be a very powerful influence to young men or older women to younger women. And it's very necessary in the body of Christ. On the flip side, when pastors, elders, overseers, whatever, are not whole themselves, they can do a lot of damage. Because, I've seen it. I've seen that spiritual covering and authority, it really can be manipulative and controlling. And when people don't really understand what's going on, or they may have like too high of a view of someone in leadership, there can be a lot of damage done. So it's a very serious role or function to embrace, and yet it can be a very powerful relationship. So, but the other thing that I mentioned was up until 8 years ago, I would say we never really experienced this kind of discipleship culture in our church experience as we're experiencing at City Church.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously. So is that like all of the churches or like just here at City Church?
I mean, it happened in those who were pastoring me, but just to see it happen more organically.
Oh, yeah.
In the body of Christ, one-on-one and even on purpose forming groups, forming ministries that really focus on discipleship and helping people connect one to another. Just like your wife and my wife are doing a Bible study together. Yep. Yep. I know it's within the Align ministry, but it's happening.
Yeah.
And they're enjoying it, and it's life-giving.
Yeah.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah, Taylor, Taylor talks about it all the time.
I probably think about it more, too, at this age of life. I'm almost 62.
Yeah.
And so now I'm like one of the old guys here. And so it's more sobering because I realize, there's even more young men looking at me now and following me, and so it's sobering because I'm still human. I'm still vulnerable to temptation. I still need to be accountable.
Yeah.
And so I meet with a young man in the church almost weekly, for discipleship, but it's mutual accountability as well. And yet I know he looks to me as a spiritual mentor, and that is good for me. It's good for him. So it's mutual.
Yeah.
One to another.
Yeah. You mentioned that your dad just passed.
Yeah.
Was there any sort of anything like that there as an example as you're now mentoring this young man? Was there a good example there that you're like, yes, this is what I want to be like. I want to be like my dad and then impart that to him.
So what I did mention yesterday was, so my dad's, if I would start out with his weakness, and then I'll highlight his strength, but in his weakness, he found it so difficult to communicate, he did not do that well. And that was a very frustrating part of our relationship. And my mother would get frustrated with him.
Okay.
When it really came down to, well, Dad, what do you think? It came down to issues of, like in our times, like the length of our hair, or dress, those kinds of things, that teenagers don't like to be told what to do.
We still don't really hair, like being told what to do.
So, and just Dad, he just didn't know what to say, and yet in his passing and the times that we had at his bedside, it all came into clear focus that Dad was always there. He was faithful.
Yeah.
He never rebelled against the Lord. He walked in integrity as a husband.
Yeah.
Faithful to our mother. He worked hard every day. to provide a living for us. He was a quiet, simple farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And he and my mother served in the church, the same church, for over 60 years.
Wow.
He was a deacon for 30 years.
Wow.
Two of those years, he had to carry the mantle of interim pastor between two pastors.
Wow.
So he had to preach one Sunday a month. And I know that was hard for Dad.
Yeah.
And so when you consider what many dads are not, my dad was. He was there.
Mm-hmm.
He was faithful.
Yeah.
You know? And so that in itself speaks volumes to me, and I think to anyone in the 21st century today.
Yeah.
A father and a man who is there. He doesn't run.
Yeah.
He's there.
Mm-hmm.
And he provides, and he's faithful.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so when it all boils down to the end of life, and in spite of our weaknesses and our human side, I mean, that's really what counts.
Yeah.
You know, in spiritual father.
Yeah. So whether it's like a discipleship type of relationship or a spiritual father, like you kind of bring them into Christ's family as a part of evangelism.
Right.
What are some practical things that you've seen fruitful in your ministry here at City Church that anybody listening would be able to be like, okay, this is what I have to do now?
Yeah. Well, in fact, the young man that I meet with almost weekly, I told him Sunday morning, I said, you know, I was telling him about my message, and I said, you know, you need to be looking around for a younger man that you can disciple, you know.
Okay.
And so I think sometimes we just need to challenge other men in that. You know, young men might be just seeing the need that they have because of their weaknesses and vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you yourself reach out and on purpose work to influence someone else and disciple someone else, even if it's just, hey, can I have your phone number? Just share a verse of the day with them.
Yeah.
I do that with some young teenage men here.
Mm-hmm.
If I see a verse that I think they would appreciate, I'll just forward it to them. And, hey, thanks, Earl. Simple things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It only takes a minute, you know, but it's a connection. It's a relationship. And it could be meaningful.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have to be, a 1-hour Bible study or anything like that. Just little things throughout the week. Or say hi to someone at church, take a minute to talk to them and just build a relationship with them. I think those are the small, very practical things that any of us can do throughout the week.
Yeah.
You know, and just pray and ask God for who he would want you to reach out to, you know. Because, when you try to force something, it usually doesn't go well.
Yeah.
But when you pray and you ask and you look for someone who you think you might be able to connect to, with common interest in life, you know, whether it's building or sports or whatever.
Yeah.
You make a connection with them and you share the word of God with them or a verse of the day and say, hey, I'll pray for you. You know, so it's those little things really that are key, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and even my dad and my parents, I mean, they would do family devotions quite often before bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they were reading Bible stories. We would get down on our knees and pray.
Mm-hmm.
So that stands out in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, as an altar time.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, during the week, like during the summer months when we weren't in school, Dad would read a portion of scripture at the breakfast table. But then we would just pray silently. You know, and that was just
simple.
What he chose to do.
Yeah.
You know, and yet when I look back, I was like, Dad read the Bible at breakfast time.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible laid there, both bowed our heads and prayed silently. That's what he chose to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but just his life, he was joyful in his life. He was thankful.
Mm-hmm.
He usually was singing a hymn or humming,
mm-hmm.
you know. So he just carried a good presence about him. So
yeah.
So and like I said yesterday, often more is caught than taught. You know, by the way we live, you know, that will speak, that will back up, obviously, the words that we say as, well, he's for real, you know, so.
Yeah, well, and I mean, we have my daughter here with us, and then you have two daughters yourself, two sons, and a slew of grandchildren. And that's how they are. Whenever they're super little, I mean, Arwen's only eight months old, and she's soaking up everything. Like, she's catching all of this stuff. I mean, we can try to teach her some things. Like, we're trying to teach her the word no, so that she understands what she can't do. But even just from watching us and and doing things, there's things that she mimics. And we haven't actually taught her that. It's just she catches it. And it's really cool to see how we're wired to catch things rather than just be taught things.
Yeah, for real.
So then you also mentioned how there's no, there shouldn't be any Lone Rangers in a New Testament context. So I know that I have friends and people that are just in my circle that kind of take faith that way, that you know, they're not anti-church, they just don't like the established church and or established religion and things like that. What encouragement could you give somebody who might find themselves in that with that mentality and thought process towards the church and community?
Well, sometimes it can be a cop-out, and sometimes it's because of fear, maybe of hurt from the church or your perception of the church based on what you have experienced or what you think the established church is or isn't. And so it does take courage to walk into a church, a new church, a new group of people. Just anything new socially, it takes courage to do that. And it takes trust that people are going to be kind to you. They're going to welcome you. Or maybe they're not the most friendly. So, but it takes courage to take that step. I heard this illustration one time, and it is very fitting in that. So if you take the illustration of a fire in a fireplace, and there's a bed of hot coals. So all the coals together are providing heat, warmth, and comfort. If you take one of those coals out, it's going to quickly fade and lose its fire and its warmth. And suddenly it's a cold lump of wood all by itself. I think it's a great illustration of really what happens when we choose to not be a part of the family of God. We become isolated. We're alone. We're lost in our own thoughts and ideas, and we can easily deceive ourselves, you know, into thinking, oh, we're good. Just me and Jesus, you know. So, So, but it's really not God's intent or plan at all for us to be alone, to serve, serve to walk with Christ alone. But it's not only for our good, it's for our strength, it's for our spiritual health. Plus, we have something to offer and contribute to the body of Christ as a believer. And if we're not, then we're missing the fulfillment of the gift that God has given us, and other people are missing out on the gift that God has given to us.
Yeah, because you mentioned 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, and how that's all about spiritual gifts, and just you also brought up Paul's use of the body and how that's so significant. It's so amazing to me to think how and hear how people are like, yeah, but I don't have anything to offer to the church. I don't have, why do I want to serve whenever there's not, I'm not good at anything, or I'm not good at anything churchy. It's like, I make coffee at Starbucks or something like
that. Those people need to be reminded that the gift of helps is right in there with those lists of gifts. Those able to help. You can just be a helper. Some people are just very gifted at just helping, being a support person. And it's very needed. We need helpers.
And it, you know, could be as simple as like
taking the trash out.
Taking the trash out, putting things like, 'cause we're having that picnic next week, which unfortunately I won't be there for, but it could be as simple as like just putting the papers on the seats in the sanctuary so that people walk in and they automatically know. Could be as simple as holding a door for somebody.
That's right.
You know, all you have to do is smile, say that's hi, right, and hold a door. Yeah. It's super, super simple.
Yeah, people need to be encouraged in that, especially people that are shy and they're not called to be leaders. And and not everyone is called to be a leader. In fact, not everyone should desire that because it's a very responsible,
it is,
accountable position, you know. And so I've struggled with it a lot over the years to just fully embrace it. And yet what I do know is that one of those gifts, the gift of prophecy or knowledge through the Spirit of God, really identified to me my calling. So it was a visiting evangelist from England at our church up in Liberty House of the Lord, and the Spirit of God gave him a word to share to me and my wife, and it was the first time I experienced that. But I bore witness to what he was saying, that that's true, that's that's me, and yeah, this is what I'm struggling with. And he was calling that out so that I could be free from those things that were holding me back. And he spoke leadership over me, and I'm like, you got the wrong person, really, is what, you know. I'm like, no, I'm not a leader. But it was a word of the Lord to me as a minister of the gospel. And so he awakened to me the gifting that God had put within me and the calling. And from then on, it slowly developed as I served and as I stepped out in faith. I was willing to preach for the first time, willing to sing a solo, do a funeral, whatever, you know, for the first time. And I was petrified in some of those times. God met me there because I was willing to obey God, because I believed, okay, God, I believe you're a good God. You know me better than I do. I'm trusting you to help me, be with me. And so sometimes it really does take older, more mature believers that have the giftings of the Spirit to discern and to speak, giftings and callings to speak it out. And then I believe, you know, especially like in times of recognizing pastors and elders, deacons in the body, I believe it's very appropriate that we do lay hands at that time on those people for those specific spiritual callings and leaderships. Because I believe, you know, as we have given ourselves to the Lord as leaders, then we can lay hands on those that we are commissioning. And I believe there's a spiritual impartation interaction that happens in that physical laying on of hands, even as Paul mentioned to Timothy, you know, the laying on of our hands. So so all of those things are done in community, relationships, and without that kind of relationship, people will die on the vine, spiritually, really. So,
and for those of you that are listening and thinking, well, that still doesn't, the spiritual gift thing really doesn't help me because I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. It's like, get out there and try something. Like, it's okay. Like, you might not know what your spiritual gift is until you get out and try something. Like, maybe you got the spiritual gift of, like, cleaning. Like, you just have an eye and you just know what to do. But, you know, you've never done it on a large scale, but just at your home.
That's right.
Could be something as simple as that.
And it's a gift of serving.
It really,
in any
really
way
is.
That you are skilled in or competent in, it could be a very natural thing that you are good at. But when you offer it, I believe, to the Lord and community, God can take that and just really bless it, and it becomes a great blessing to the body of Christ. And as we give, we are refilled with life from God, and we're blessing others as we give and serve. So great point.
And then to kind of piggyback off of that, really,
she has a word to offer there. Don't you, Arwen?
If I've heard tongues, it's that.
She's speaking in tongues now, yeah?
And the other thing is, don't expect to be perfect at it the first time. Like,
right.
Development is a thing, and
it is, yeah.
I mean, Jesus developed as he mm-hmm. grew and he matured. Mm-hmm. An argument can be made too that even though Adam and Eve were made in the image of God before the fall, that they still had some maturing and some things to do to become even more mm-hmm. like God in how they reflect Him. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's like, don't worry about like yeah. doing it perfect the first time. Yeah. Take the time to yeah. develop it, especially if it's something you enjoy.
Yeah. Well, and we all struggle with self-image.
Mm-hmm.
How do I look? How do I sound? How mm-hmm. am I performing? And so that we have to learn to die to, because it's a part of surrendering ourselves to God. Mm-hmm. Because it's not about us.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I have to blow my nose 3 times when I preach. I'm like, what's with that? I hate it.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing, but I'm like, I'm going to do it anyhow because God's called me to preach, and I'm still learning and developing in that skill. Mm-hmm. It is a skill
oh, yeah.
to learn and yeah. develop. But the first thing really is submitting ourselves to the Lord mm-hmm. and just being willing to do what He's called us to do.
Yeah.
And God will meet us there.
Yeah.
And we do it for His glory and for the good of the body.
Yeah, yep. Which is mm-hmm. a perfect thing to end on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
So, Earl, thank you for your sermon yesterday.
You're
and thank you for faithfully leading the church through thick and thin.
You're welcome.
And serving the church. And just want to remind everybody listening, this isn't a replacement for the Sunday sermon. It is just a supplement to it. It's more like a vitamin. So please get plugged in to a local church. And if you're in Williamsport and you'd like to find a local church, come see us on Sunday morning. And we'd love to meet you, see how we can get you plugged in and where your spiritual gifting falls within City Church, so that you're not alone. Yes, not alone. Good. So, again, Earl, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tyler.
We'll see you all next week. Have a blessed week.